Dude, it was like so Wild West. It was shit that like nobody was really doing at the time.
I remember it. I was like, this guy at the next Beautiful Destinations, like video. I'm like, oh, yeah. That guy made it.
It was usually like a month, 6 weeks, like out on the road. You'd bounce from one to the next. Maybe spend a week there, do a project. They're like, hey, we got this other thing in Saudi or like Dubai. Like, can you hop there right after? And they'll just book a flight like a day before. Now we're here. Now we're in Peru.
So would they always credit you guys?
They would give us credit and they would like kind of give us our flowers for all of that stuff. Like, and that was part of the appeal of like wanting to be part of the BD team. Right,
it's the first time they're like, oh, we'll pay you an exposure. Actually, work. You went from touring the world with Beautiful Destinations and then straight to like touring the world with Illenium. You get burned out at all from like that? You went back to back, kind of crazy job.
I feel like I've gone through two very just prominent burnouts in my head. Luckily, coming out of it, I think it's just about changing the relationship of like how I see my work. If I'm not doing something, I feel like he's shit, and I've changed that. I think living in Hawaii has helped out a lot with that, getting able to slow down. Playing like Raiders Stadium in Vegas, I'm like, holy shit, okay, it's even bigger where I even thought it couldn't get bigger than Red Rocks. Then it's like MSG, Madison Square Garden. I think for me, I'm just, dude, I want to get my voice back in a sense. Start telling my own stories again. I have a Layers series film, which is like 2 minute, just short vignettes on people that I like, I'm inspired by, that I think do really cool shit. I think that's like my North Star right now. It's like, okay, aside from everything else that I'm getting hired for and all these other jobs, this is the thing that I want to be making. This is the thing that I want to be known for making. And I just need to start doing it.
Something you said to Brayden that nobody's ever said to me, I can tell you used to wrestle.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to episode 103 of the 505 podcast. Very special guest, dude. Nainoa Langer is in the house today, man. I don't know if you guys know this guy. He is one of the most talented creators on the planet, okay? Back in the day, okay, when I was in college, we used to watch him on their screen, dude. We used to put him up on the TV when he was with Beautiful Destinations. I don't know if you guys ever watched YouTube back in, let's see, 2016. Nainoa ran the internet, dude. This guy was doing backflips with the best of them. He had the coolest travel films, and he was seeing the world at such a young age, and I think pioneering an entire niche. It was incredible.
I remember seeing the Beautiful Destinations stuff that they were putting out and being like, man, like, that's what I want to do. In college too, I remember being in Wisconsin being like, I'm stuck in Wisconsin and this dude is traveling the world making insane videos and just getting to do like a dream job. You know what I'm saying?
I wanted to do that, dude. I was in chemistry 101 and I'm sitting here watching him, you know, they're just going to every cool place in the entire world. And I'm like, what am I doing, man?
I know.
Like this whole bio degree is not it. That is it, you know? And he talked a lot about, he's using a Nikon now. I don't know if you heard that while you were editing.
Yeah, I picked up on that.
Yeah, he's a big Nikon guy. But it was really cool to just hear, you know, his journey going from literally on a tiny island in Hawaii, right? He was on it's called Molokai is where he's from. So on this little island, and then he gets this crazy opportunity to move to New York, right? Just the biggest, from the littlest town to the biggest city in the world, the concrete jungle. And then he's like, you know what? I want to go do something else. I'm not satisfied right now with the work that I'm putting out. And he wanted to go just change, right? And so he starts doing his own thing, starts working with Illenium. And the content, if you guys go on YouTube and look at Illenium's content, it's absolutely incredible. Shooting on an Nikon, it's crazy.
What's crazy about shooting Illenium? Crazy that he's doing this all on an Nikon.
Unbelievable.
What's crazy about him shooting Illenium is just in a different like realm when it comes to DJs. I got to shoot some pretty big shows with Loud Luxury, but nothing like MSG or SoFi. Like, honestly, when I first heard that Illenium did Allegiant Stadium, which is the Raiders Stadium in Las Vegas, I was like, what are you talking about? Like, no way, like DJs aren't doing that big of shows. And he is. Like, something about Illenium's music people relate to and connect to so much that he's able to sell out stadiums and shooting those shows. I could only imagine how crazy it is. But he talks about how he got burnt out twice. Big burnouts. One, after doing Beautiful Destinations, and then two, from touring with Illenium. And I really admired how he changed his mindset of how he looked at his work. But I really related to the fact of getting burnt out from being on the road, because that's one of the biggest reasons why I had to stop, is I just simply got burnt out from being on the road with Loud Luxury. And then he talks about just like wanting to get his voice back and creating for himself And I just really related to a lot of the things he said. And I'm bummed that I wasn't there because he seems like a cool guy. And he probably also would have asked me if I wrestled, because I feel like I also have like a wrestler's build like you guys.
Yeah.
Chase, but definitely us
not,
three.
Definitely not Chase, but I feel like the three of us could pass. Yeah. You know, it was one more thing that I want to touch on before we let you get into it. On the topic of him creating things for himself, mm-hmm. if you go onto his Instagram, it's called Layers, is this new project that he's been working on. So he did one with his jiu-jitsu coach, and they're these cinematic movies that are short, and they're like little short films, you know, and I love that he's just creating stuff for himself again. Yeah. He talked a lot about this process, like you're saying, of, you know, doing all of this commercial work, you do all this stuff for other people, you got to make something for yourself.
It's important.
And it fuels the fire, yep. You know,
yeah.
Nicest guy. I can't wait for you guys to get into this one. Episode 103, give me that one-handed crack. Let's go. All right, the one-handed crack presented by Leisure Hydration. Okay, I got high hopes for you.
Dude, yeah, I do.
You're scaring me already, kind of like putting your hand around it.
I'm already kind of nervous.
No, this, but you got to grab it at some point.
Yeah. Okay, okay, hit it. Give it to
Does
me.
Does the approach matter?
No, you're good.
All right.
Nice.
Yeah.
Good start. Really technical.
Dude,
that looks like
you.
It's
you can do it. You got to do it.
You might have to lift it.
I might have
to
lift it one more time.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm not even under this lid right here.
Yeah, okay, that lid is tough.
We can put it down. We can give you a restart.
That lid might be like in
there.
We go.
Yeah. I turn away, reback. Okay, go. Hit it. Oh, you just started with it on the table.
No.
Here. Try this one.
Try that one. Let's give it back. Oh my God, the thing's dead in this shit.
This one's a little.
Hey, I might give
this.
You got this one. You got
the worst of all time. The worst of all
time. You gotta lift it up first.
Lift it up.
Okay, now go.
You know you got this one. I know you got this one.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
let me see.
That was pretty
solid.
That felt
bad. That felt bad though.
So the dents really hurt you on this first one, and I'm gonna have to do like a little collaboration. I'm gonna give you a 3-9, and I'm hyped to have you though. Hyped to have you. It's all that matters here. I'll show you how to do it. So that is not how you do it.
Wow.
Himself pretty good too.
This can is also, this, I mean, dude, I got to talk to the Amazon guy. I've been saying
that's
this.
That's brutal.
I've been saying this for weeks, dude. I swear he comes and just hucks it against the wall.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dude, we got to get the cans to be prettier on the show.
Yeah. Hey, so, listener, there's a lot of dents in there.
This one was terrible.
Yeah, so you were set up for failure.
Cheers, so. Boys.
Cheers,
welcome
cheers,
to the
cheers.
Show, dude.
Thanks for having
welcome
me, boys.
To the show.
So what were you up in Monterey for? And you just randomly popped down to Venice for a few days?
I'm in between projects. So I was in Monterey for a campaign video with Kif.
Ooh.
Nice. Collabing with Columbia. They, my buddy actually got the job. He brought me on to DP at Corey Martin. I'm here in between jobs. I'm doing a job tomorrow in Australia.
Tomorrow.
I'll fly out tonight with Patagonia.
How sick.
So that'll be a fun, we'll be there for like 10 days and
wow.
Yeah.
That's going to be insane.
Yeah.
Patagonia?
Yeah. Wow. It's mostly with a director I've worked with before, and she does a lot of work with them. So, brought me on for this one. I'm like, fuck yeah, let's send it to fucking Australia.
That is so sick.
Yeah.
Will you bring your Nikon for that shoot?
Yeah. My Nikon V Raptor? Absolutely. Uh-huh. Yeah.
How do you feel about that?
Yeah, how do you feel about that?
I don't care, man.
No, you care. You seem like you're...
Are you?
I feel like you care a lot.
We haven't
dude.
Talked about it at all. Are you worried that they're going to start making Reds with Nikon mounts only? Because they're not going to make Canon mounts only.
Yeah. Okay, I have a theory. I got a big theory.
Wait, let me turn off the AC first.
Oh, okay, turn off
and
the AC.
And then you tell me your theory.
Okay, so you're Nikon. You're Nikon.
Tell us your theory.
I'm officially
Nikon. Okay, so here's what my sources. I have inside sources.
Oh, you got inside sources.
I went to the rental houses. I've chatted with some people.
Yeah, I've actually done a little bit of this too.
And the rental house guys were telling me that the Nikon fellas came last year and they really wanted that Z camera to be a thing.
Oh.
And they were explaining, like, listen, dude, no one's buying the Z camera.
Right.
Okay. They you're not going to beat Sony's A7S3. And that's kind of where it's expensive, dude. It's a little over $5,500, I believe. It's to compete with the C70 price range wise.
Which is not going to beat it.
It's not going to beat the C70, dude.
No.
Yeah. And so I think that they were a little bored. Red was in a lawsuit with them.
I saw that, the legal troubles.
Yeah. So it was basically the Nikon camera, could be totally wrong on this. Red one article, I considered it true. So Red was in a little legal situation where they were like, yo, you guys are using our raw footage thing. That's ours.
Right.
Can't use it. So they were in a little battle. And then Nikon's like, hey,
just give us the company.
What do you think about this? Give us the company.
Yeah.
And I think that they just wanted to be a video camera company.
Yeah.
And so they're like,
they just
wanted
to stop getting slammed.
They were tired of getting shit on.
When you can't beat them, you buy the big dog.
Yeah, you can't beat them, join them, dude.
Yeah, exactly.
Kevin Durant going to the Warriors.
Yes.
You know, same thing. But yeah, so are you worried they're going to like make Nikon? Well, I guess it wouldn't affect your Raptor, current Raptor.
Not really. Yeah. The Raptor I'm working, I mean, in the future for sure.
Yeah.
But I'm also,
yeah,
I'm trying to only do PL at this point. So I'm like, okay.
Oh, let's go.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, I'm sure that I'm sure that they'll have a PL slash Nikon mount.
Like, I'm pretty sure they're around.
Do you own like EF RF like camera glass?
I don't. I own like a set of like PL DZO, just like basic stuff, just to get stuff on that. If I can't rent, the DZOs, then that's what I'm doing.
We had the 35.
Yeah, we had a DZO.
They're sweet.
It was nice. Komodo. Yeah,
I think they're in that mid range of like they're not the cheapest shitty lens, but they're also not like high end.
Yeah, but they feel more like we did the research and it's like every other like the Canon Cines is just like rehoused Canon lenses. Yeah. Like
so Sigma, it's like same thing. Yeah, it's just the same.
So the DZO ones were like this is like an actual cinema lens. Yeah, that's like different from something.
And then
else.
They upcharge like $10,000 for the Cine version of the Sigma lens.
I'm glad that you're hanging out at rental houses again.
Yeah. I was just
doing that too.
I've just been popping in and asking questions. They're like, "You here for the pickup?" I'm like, "Nope." They're like, "You got to move your car." Let's move your car from out front.
I was at Sammy's for like 45 minutes, just chopping it up. There's like the Aperture Nova, like 600Z. Yeah, yeah. I talked about it for 30 minutes because I just used it on like a test. I was like, "What was it like?" And I was like, "It was pretty cool."
Yeah,
dude. If you want respect from rental house guys, just order the biggest thing there, and then they'll stop thinking you're just like a little kid.
Yeah.
That's what I discovered yesterday.
With the shoot with Kith, take me through kind of what your work was with Corey and how you guys kind of work in tandem to make this project happen.
Well, first off, I think he got approached from Kith to do their kind of, I mean, it's like a social influencer campaign, but, you know, we work together because we've worked at Beautiful Destinations, you know, for a couple of years. Our relationship is mostly like that travel duo type of thing that you see a lot. So when things come up, we'll pretty much like hit each other up and be like, hey, you know, you want to come shoot this for me? I need some help. Can't do it all on my own. So for that whole trip, you know, I DP'd it. He was kind of like talent. They had a whole just spread of the new collection. You know, we did maybe a month of pre-pro of just like, hey, these are the kind of films we want to aim for.
Cool.
We're at a point where it's like, he's getting hired for kind of like a certain style of video that he's known for. And they were like, hey, we love your style. And it's, again, it's not quite a commercial, but it's also not quite just like a social content type of video. So we had a lot of freedom to kind of craft what it is we wanted to make. And we were like, hey, we got all these inspiring things that we wanted to do. Let's try to just aim for something really dope like that. They gave us fucking a lot of freedom.
That's
so
sweet.
We just spent like the last 5 days running up and down the coast and like shooting cool stuff with their collection.
Where did you go? So you went to Monterey. Where else?
Monterey. We shot at basically just like off the highway. Like, you know how there's those really, really pretty scenic spots. We had permits at this place called Fernwood for like a campground. So we did like this little campfire scene, you know, typical fishing stuff, and just tried to shoot it in a way that was, I don't know, like a little bit more elevated than just the normal, you know, shot on GoPro type of shit, which is what, you know, kind of done in the past.
Yeah.
And it feels a lot more, I think the goal is just to like, hey, how can we stand out from the other guys that are on this campaign as well? And just do something that's going to push us forward and hopefully keep that relationship. So
will you cut this or will you give it to an editor? What's the,
I just shot it. He's probably going to do something. I think originally they were going to cut our footage. Then like last second they were like, hey Corey, can you like edit something, put it together? So we went into it with like, okay, Corey's gonna be editing this, you know. And when you have that freedom, it's like, okay, this is what's gonna, you know, determine the entire way that we shoot it.
Do you get a little nervous giving someone your RAWs at all?
I love it so much.
Is it the best feeling ever? Being like, best. I'm done, dude. I'll see you later. Dude, that's absolutely so dope.
I had a brand ask for my RAWs once, right? We were on this shoot and it was a smart home device company. They were terrible. They didn't work in the day, right? So day ends, client leaves. We have like pick-me-up shots. And one of my people, Kyle, is talking mad shit, dude, about the product. In the background, he goes, dude, these are pieces of shit, dude. And I'm like, these suck.
Yeah.
These awful, awful product. And so like,
you rolling audio?
Oh, rolling audio. We're rolling everything. We get back, like weeks go by, and they're like, hey. Do you mind if we actually want to buy the RAWs? I go, oh, it's so expensive. You don't want those RAWs, dude. That's funny. To literally figure out a way on like your Finder and Apple to right click every there was 180 clips. You had to right click them all, detach the audio, make it so it's just silent. We did that for every, because we're like, dude, we can't have 90% of them, and then there's like six clips. Dude, I don't know what happened to this 6 clips with audio.
Yeah.
So yeah, be careful. Don't talk shit about a bad product.
Right. I was more worried they'd find some like weird,
yeah,
like just dancey. I don't know. You know, like
pop zooms.
You should honestly like give them. You should always have. Yeah, it's like pop zooms. It's your friend. Just like
yeah. I think it's cool. Because I think you got to think too. Like it's mostly just gonna be editors looking at that shit. And they're completely removed from like any stuff. So it's just you can do whatever the fuck you want.
That's the coolest thing about being in DP though, I feel like, is just being like, I'm done.
Yeah.
My day's over this project is over for me. Mm-hmm. Which is so cool, dude.
It's so fun. It's like a lot of pressure off of just and that's what I'm going for in life right now.
Do you ever see the final cut and you're like, I wish I got some say in that? Or like, I wish I got some say in how that ended up?
Yeah. I mean, especially on the ones that I feel kind of like invested in, mm-hmm. you know, emotionally. Mm-hmm. I've seen a couple that I'm just like, dude, I wish I could have done something to that. Or it's usually smaller stuff, but at the end of the day, I'm just like, I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
Like, it's their thing. They do it the way they want. If I can, I usually always try to retain my own rights for the footage too. So it's like,
oh, that's cool.
If I wanted to, I could use it for, you know, my own just reels or like stuff that I could post afterwards too. And then stock footage.
Has that been a problem for you at all with any of them saying like, no, we want to own it? No, they're pretty cool about it?
They're pretty cool. Yeah, the only, I mean, this was back in the day, but like at BD, like Beautiful Destinations, like that was kind of a thing where it was unspoken because we were going out, we'd shoot everything. And like at the end of the day, it would all be on like their channel and like for their stuff. But I know we would always cut our own shit anyway, and it's like, it was like a gray area, you know. It never got to like any heated or bad area, but that's the only thing I could think of. Everyone else is pretty chill about it.
I feel like that was interesting because you'd see like the Beautiful Destinations videos like back when that was a huge like travel influencer space, but then you'd also see like the quick like cut of like the influencers like that were filming it becoming big, like the Colders of the world and stuff. I could see that being a total gray area. I didn't even really think about that at the time, you know? What was it like working for them? Like, how long were you with them?
I was there for a little under 2 years, like a year and a half or so. And then even like these days, they're more of, they don't have any like in-house creators from what I remember. They'll reach out and like, hey, you want to hop on this project or something and like freelance for it. It was cool. I mean, dude, it was like so Wild West. Like it was shit that like nobody was really doing at the time. And hence, the gray area was like, okay, this isn't, we don't know how to actually operate this thing and maintain it. So it was cool. They had a decent amount of turnover. That was the only thing, was like people coming in had no idea what to expect. We were just kind of, you know, they sent us around the world and like we did a whole bunch of cool stuff. And then at the end, it was like, okay, how do we, I mean, it's so unsustainable in that way that they did it in the beginning. Whereas now it's like, you know, I still really don't know what's going on. And I don't mean to talk shit or anything. They're awesome. But that framework wasn't very supportive for like an individual to kind of like continue to grow, if you will. Yeah.
It was pretty, I mean, I remember it like becoming like the next, I was like, this guy's the next Beautiful Destinations like video. I'm like, that guy made it.
He made it.
That was like a big deal for a while. Like, oh, this, I remember there was like we're going to bring on a new guy. And it was like this random guy. I'm like, I got to follow him now. Like, he's a new BD videographer guy.
Yeah.
It's like, that was a big deal to like become one of those dudes. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And how often were you traveling I know you went to a ton of different countries, but when you'd come back from one, would you get a few days? Would you get a week? Or was it bam, right off to the next country?
It was a lot. I mean, it was a lot of back-to-back stuff. It was usually like a month, 6 weeks, like out on the road. You'd bounce from one to the next, like maybe spend a week there, do a project. They're like, hey, we got this other thing in Saudi or like Dubai. Like, can you hop there right after? And they'll just book a flight like a day before and just, okay, well, now we're here. Now we're in Peru. And like, it was just, they would usually try to bunch it in like a month at a time. And then by the time you get back, you have all this other, you have to edit everything. So you stay home for, you know, a couple of weeks, do as much as you can. And it's like, hey, there's one more. Go do your thing, yeah.
So would it be like, would they pay you like per project or you just like salaried?
It was salaried, yeah. Wow. It was, and that, again, same thing, like that framework might have worked out if it were a little less work, you know? But it's because of how quickly it was moving, I feel like keeping everyone happy and like actually mentally fully there to be able to do the best work was like really hard.
Yeah.
But I moved to New York, I lived in New York for like 2 years. You would come back to the city and it was cool. Like you'd have this just grind mentality. Once you're back from like all these travels, you're like, oh fuck, I can't wait to put out these videos and start to edit all this stuff. And then once you're back out again, it was, you know, it was just such a fucking nonstop type of thing.
How did you find, like, how did you get the job in the first
Colder.
Place?
Colder. Yeah. So I actually...
You're just like doing yoga together.
He was actually one of his acro partners.
Yeah, just flying in there.
This was pre-acro Colder. Pre-acro Colder. Sick. And he was, I remember he was just getting into, I mean, like, I think... At the time that I met him, he came out to Hawaii like a couple of times, did a bunch of stuff. Like we hung out and this was again like at the cusp of like travel porn type of stuff.
Totally.
Dude, it was insane. It was all we wanted to do.
Dude, he created an entire genre.
Yeah, it's like crazy. On his own.
No, I feel like you were very much a part of that.
I think.
Without a 100%, doubt. 100%. Yeah, like, yeah. I remember I was telling Chase before, like, we watched your Let's Go Sicily video in college. I remember it vividly. My boy Adam was like, yo, you're having fucking Nino on? I was like, yeah. We used to watch his fucking shit in college, dude. I remember it vividly. Did you do the Let's Go Paris video too or no?
I didn't. No, I think that was after. I was after my time.
That was after you were there. Yeah. I loved that.
I totally forgot the Let's Go things were a thing.
Those were so dope.
The Sicily video was crazy, dude.
Thanks, man.
Wow. So would they always credit you guys or was that something that you had to, okay.
So that was the thing is like, they would give us credit and they would like kind of give us our flowers for all of that stuff. Like, and that was part of the appeal of like wanting to be part of the BD team, right? Was like, hey, you can build your own kind of image off of it.
That's a good pitch.
It's the first time it was like, sick. Oh, we'll pay you an exposure. Actually worked.
No, for sure. And it was cool. Like they did, I think the campaign that I got on was like World's Coolest Job. I don't know if that was like beginning of it. Mm-hmm. And they just built so much hype around,
wow,
this is the next travel, you know, guys and stuff.
It was like such a big deal.
No, it was. It was for sure. Do you feel like during that time period, were you doing okay? Were you stressed out? Was it fun? I know, but obviously parts of it were really fun.
Yeah.
But if you look at the overall picture of your time there, do you feel like it was net positive or were you in a spot where you're like, yo, this is like so much work that I want to do something else?
No, net positive for sure.
For sure.
Yeah. At the end of it, it takes a toll, obviously, like doing so much so quickly. And I think they understood that towards the end of like, once they realized, okay, everyone's kind of getting the same feelings around the same marks, like after a year and a half, 2 years, that's like kind of like the lifespan of someone there. And I remember being just so burnt out as like awesome outside looking in, like, yeah, you're getting to travel, you're getting to do all this dream stuff and like the sickest experiences. That's what I got to take away from it. But it was just constantly working was fucking a lot.
Pause. Why are you interrupting me again?
Dude, I'm sorry. I have to hear about the NAB show.
Okay. April 13th through the 17th in Las Vegas at the Convention Center. Okay. This is one of the biggest events of the year, dude. They're going to have broadcasts. They're going to have creators. They're going to have, you know, the lenses, the cameras. You're going to be able to try all this stuff out at booths, dude. You should see the floor plan of this event. It's ridiculous.
It looks amazing. Getting to see what's coming out this upcoming year, all things camera related and broadcasting. But they also have incredible creators, like you said. And one of our favorite creators, Casey Neistat, is gonna be there speaking on the main stage, and I would make the trek out just for that.
Book your flights.
Totally.
Go see Casey. Man, you got a chance to give nucks to Casey Neistat. Are you kidding me? And I mean, I think it's just really cool though to be able to conversate with these brands. A lot of the brands that we use, to run this show and say, hey, what's coming out, man? What do I need to know about? What do I need to buy? And you know, what do I need to write off this upcoming year? I think it's going to be one of the coolest events of the year. And it's one massive networking festival, dude. You get to see all of these people who are doing similar things as you. Maybe they're in an adjacent field and learn from them and ask them questions about what they're doing. Especially when you bring all these people together, it just provokes community. Everyone gets to talk. You get to access so much information. It's a really cool thing.
April 13th to the 17th, Las Vegas, Nevada. Go check it
out. Let's go.
Do you feel like you had like a period of like growth, like getting way better at videos, like doing all that? Or did you feel like, did it get to a point where you were just like, I'm making the same shit over and over again? Like,
Somewhat. Yeah. I think the cool thing was that you'd have these few people around you that you'd be able to like collaborate with and like bounce ideas off of. Even though everyone's all working on their own stuff, like, I got fired up working next to Corey because, you know, he was doing something over there and I'm like kind of seeing it. I'm like, oh, okay, that's, I kind of want to one up that and like try some new stuff. So it was like a healthy competition.
Yeah.
But like you grew so much because you also just, there was nothing else to do.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, the city's cool. You can there's pretty much only two things, like you drink and you work.
Yeah.
Like people go out after, you know, they work and go to the bars and meet up for drinks. But other than that, you're just in the fucking head down in the trenches editing.
Yeah. That was my life there. Do you get to like enjoy the destinations at all? Like,
Yeah. Somewhat. I mean, it was full on for sure. Like you'd pretty much try to shoot every day.
Yeah.
But you would, I mean, if there was times where we were feeling like, hey, like, let's just take it easy today. I'm like really pushed. They were totally fine with just like, hey, take a day off, do what you want to do, kind of chill out.
How many people would go with you on these trips? Would Tom go with you, or is it just you and another person?
We've had, I mean, sometimes it would be like, it was usually the duos. Mm. Like you'd have one and one kind of like tag teaming it. Then they would have these like big kind of, I remember these creator trips that we used to do where they would kind of get like other influencers and other photographers like all together and maybe like 10 or 12 of us and just send us to like fucking luxury destination.
I've never seen those. We did one in
Peru. That's crazy.
And those were sick. Like those were like, it was just get everyone together. It was fucking debauchery.
What is that? Yeah. Is that, I always wondered like, what are those like? Like, is it like, is it fun as it looks? Is it like, is it just like everyone just filming like their own thing and it's like more worky, or is it like a fucking lit party? Like,
I think halfway. Yeah. Like a mix of both.
Yeah.
It was definitely, I think if you imagine a work trip on your own and how serious you are about that, you realize like if you had so many other people that are feeling that exact same thing, the steam you get to let off and like everyone just kind of like goes loose. Mm. They also kind of set it up in a cool way where they, you know, were giving us freedom to be like having fun at the same time. And they were, I mean, it turned out cool. Like all the work would be really cool afterwards. Like, and it was, big party.
Would they give you like huge
parties? Were you like strapped the drone on your back with like an A7S3? What did you use?
Dude,
what
were you rocking?
That was the 1DX days.
Oh, sure.
1DX Mark IIs.
Sam rubbed off on him, dude.
Yeah.
You guys rubbed off on everybody.
Rubbed off on all of us, dude.
Did you guys have Canon or 1DX teams at all?
I mean, I had a T3i, but you know,
hey, there you go.
T5, dude. I couldn't afford that 1DX in college.
No. But we got there eventually.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Would they have like, okay, last question about this, because I'm just stuck on it. Would they have like a list of like deliverables that you had to get like for every city, like per person?
Yeah.
Or like,
So that was an interesting thing for like the actual BD creators would have like a certain deliverable for like each property. Like say it was for a hotel that they had like several properties in a country. We'd go and like tour that country, do all those properties, and then per property you like deliver a certain amount of stuff. So that was like on the creators side. For the influencers, I think they like kind of had the same thing similarly, but it was always pretty minor. It wasn't really huge stuff.
That's crazy. It was fun. I mean, it was an era for sure.
Yeah,
a wild era
for sure. It was.
So you left right in August of 2017. You
something like that. Yeah.
Worked with Elenium for the first time,
dude. Did you research that?
Yeah, we researched all.
Holy shit!
I didn't even know
it was August of 2017.
He's like the FBI.
Eyes in the sky. Damn. Eyes in the sky at all times. Yeah. So August 23rd of 2017.
At about 10:59 a.m. Yep. Got the email.
You started working with Elenium. You posted this thing and you're like, hey, this is a big moment for me as someone whose music I really liked a lot. How has that job changed from that first initial recap video to now you're slinging around like the heaviest camera ever? You know, how has this job changed in these last few years?
You've
worked for a minute.
Dude, it's been cool. I think what's been cool about that relationship also is that they haven't changed, you know, from the early days of like playing really small club shows and like headlining or, you know, just like small festivals and stuff. They've pretty much stayed consistent. We've had the same relationship. I think that was cool when we first met that like we vibed and luckily for me, I was like, I love this guy's music. I love who they are. So let's keep this thing going. I think those small, I mean, obviously I was shooting on 1DX and stuff too. So I had the glide cam running around. Yeah. Like we did the whole, I wanted to be Rory Kramer type of thing.
Yep.
And I think just over the last few years, wanting to elevate just everything visually, I was like, you know, I bought a Komodo, I bought a Red. Mm-hmm. And then just taking that into that same concert space because I've held that relationship with them. And I don't think I'd want to do any work with any other musician or artist. So the relationship we have is that I'm basically free to like pretty much do what I want with them.
Sick.
They've trusted me from that beginning. They were like, hey, like we like your style. Can you do something with us? you know, I kind of earned a bit of trust there. And now it's like, okay, what do you feel like doing for these big shows? Like, was there something new that you can innovate? So it was recappy at first. And now these days it's like more, I want to tell mini doc type of stories just behind the scenes more a bit. And even there, I think that's my kind of strength, is just like fly on the wall, capture things as they come, make it look really beautiful, edit it cool. And that's all I can ask for. And I'm still just doing that with them. Yeah.
That's
cool.
That's sick. I mean, it's wild that you're like our buddy Kostas, who usually does this pod, he was shooting Loud Luxury.
Yeah.
But he's on a Dizzler. Like, I couldn't imagine shooting like a full on tour with like a Raptor.
Yeah.
Is it like you run out of storage? First question. Like,
no. Luckily I only have to do video.
Okay.
I think a lot of concerts, you know, will try to do video and photo. I'm luckily like, I only focus on video. Like, if they ask me to take a photo, I'm like, fuck, I'm sorry, I can't. I'm not gonna do it.
My camera doesn't do it.
My camera literally can't do it. So yeah, it's a lot for sure. It's overkill at times for fucking damn sure.
Yeah.
Do you edit this? Do you like take all the selects? Because that's what they do with the Rockets, dude. They get all, they'll shoot the whole game, right?
It's the same thing.
And they pop up their selects and they delete the rest.
They just fully delete the rest?
Fully
Ross?
Delete it, dude. Gone forever.
Because they just couldn't store it all?
No, yeah. And they're like, if we're not going to use it, there's no point in keeping it. Yeah. That's how they think, at least.
But with a doc, I feel like you couldn't do that.
You can't. No way. You got to keep, so you keep it all.
I keep it all. Like, it all goes on a timeline. And usually I don't have to turn and burn. That's the other thing.
That's
like,
sick.
I think that's the reason that they have to do that, is
because you're turning around footage so quick. It's
because after the game, it doesn't really matter.
And that's true. Like, you don't have to, I'm assuming that if they have a talking point, they'll save it. But like, as far as a highlight, if it's not going in that basket, there's no point for them to keep it. But yours is totally. Like, you're documenting like everything he's saying.
It's usually even shit that I don't think will make it, that is like, okay, this kind of helps support, so I'm going to keep that in there. A lot of it can be like even just negative time where it's like, you know, a kind of a lull in the doc, if you will, but it's still supporting the overall story because it's a big deal. So that's the stuff I get to work on. Luckily, I mean, I'm stoked. I used to have to do all the turn and burn shit.
Yeah.
Flipping it next day type stuff.
Because you went
from, I respect the people that fucking
that's crazy.
Grind that.
Because you went from basically touring the world with Beautiful Destinations and then straight to like touring the world with Illenium.
I mean, you
get burned out at all from like that? You went back to back kind of crazy job.
I mean, I feel like I've gone through maybe like two very just prominent burnouts in my head. Luckily coming out of it, I think it's just about changing the relationship of like how I see my work and what I need to be doing in my life. And like, I've always had a mentality of more is better. And like, the more I'm doing, like, I always need to be, I don't know, either one-upping myself or keep, like, you know, if I'm not doing something, I feel like a piece of shit. And I've changed that. So that's always, especially I think living in Hawaii has helped out a lot with that, just getting able to slow down.
Yeah.
And that's so healthy. So I've definitely kind of gone bouncing from a lot of fucking places. I mean, you guys know it, the creative life is so roller coastery.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's no different on my side.
I mean, when Kostas quit Loud Luxury, he napped for like 3 months straight. So then you just went right into Illenium from that. I was like, damn. You know? Like,
yeah, pretty much. Yeah,
you just give yourself a breather. Yeah.
So with your process for shooting a concert or a stadium, when you first started out, like, you probably just, you're like, holy shit, this is crazy. There's lights going everywhere. But now, what does that process look like? What are things that you think when you see a concert video, you're like, oh, you're not doing this right?
Yeah.
Or like, not that it's necessarily right or wrong, but this, you're missing this thing.
Yeah.
What do you feel like that is when you see other people who are shooting in the beginning phases?
You know what's funny is I think I used to make a big deal out of it and like, I need to scope my venue first. I need to like find my best vantage points, all this kind of stuff. These days I just like show up and like whatever it is, I fucking show up and I do it.
Yeah.
I think it saves me my headache for just like keeping my mental space clear. And I'm also trying to capture, it's not even about the space, it's about the artists, it's about the people that I'm actually shooting. So I don't stress myself out about making sure I'm like capturing every angle from this huge stadium that we're shooting. It's usually also like other people that are covering all kinds of stuff, so luckily I'm able to like get their access too. So I've been very, very lucky to just be able to just like stick to Nick and like not have to fucking I'll run out and like get all these like supporting b-roll shots and like try to get these wide stage stuff and cool scale of everything, but my main focus is always going to be like on him, on his story, just for the purpose of what I'm doing, because I'm like, I'm doing these doc stuff, like that's the most important.
Right. The first thing. Like first time you were like filming like a big like show, because he plays a huge show, were you just holy crap. Dude, like
it's progressively gotten worse every time, like in a good way.
Yeah.
Because I remember when he played his like his first Red Rocks show was like the biggest deal for him. Mm-hmm. And that's when like it kind of seeped into me shooting it too. Yeah. I'm like, holy fuck, this is Red Rocks. Like I need to make sure I'm doing everything. Yeah. And you've seen again like that competition of like I've seen Rory's like things
yeah,
of, like
of course.
Red Rocks. I'm like, I want to do something like that, but better.
Yeah.
And so from that, like, okay, Red Rocks was one. And then the next was like playing like Raiders Stadium in Vegas. I'm like, holy shit, okay, it's even bigger where I even thought it couldn't get bigger than Red Rocks. Then it's like MSG, that's Madison Square nuts. Garden, like all those stuff where like you think, okay, we're used to this. Like, no, it doesn't. It doesn't really, it doesn't get better.
No, but,
like,
sure.
SoFi, so this last one last month when I was here was just the biggest space.
Yeah.
And same thing, like I'm just like, okay, I'm nervous about this, but also I think keeping the main thing is just like, hey, I'm on him. Like I'm focusing on his story. Right. I can let everybody else worry about fucking getting those like detail angles and stuff. So,
I mean, SoFi is like huge.
Have you guys been in before?
I went to a football game there. I couldn't believe how, like, I was like, remember looking at like across. I'm like, that guy that's standing also watching the same football game is like a mile and a half from me. Like he is so far.
Yeah,
it's so insane.
And those the big boards, they're so crazy.
So cool.
There's just stuff going on.
Those like
24/7.
Yeah.
So it made the coolest visuals too. And we have these pods is what they're called. So there's like four little stations of just giant pyro out in the crowd. So like, those wide angles, you see this whole LED screen in the top, and then you see the fucking pyro list like in the middle of everybody. It's crazy production. So they keep just going higher and higher.
Do you feel like more creatively stimulated from doing Elenium or Beautiful Destinations? Like, was there anything in Beautiful Destinations when you were like, I'm kind of sick of just like shooting a city? Mm. Like, I want to shoot a person or like?
Yeah. I think I was craving a bit more human stories, you know, just like against why I think that's why I naturally went towards wanting to tell Nick's story and like being part of the Elenium stuff. Because BD was, again, it was cool to tell these like travel stories of these places, but I think that's a good point. I was craving like a bit more storytelling, and that's usually around people.
Yeah.
So even these days, like I've kind of scaled back my stuff with Elenium, and I'm working on these other like projects that I'm getting hired for, like the DP stuff.
Right.
It's all part of the storytelling of like craving a cooler, just deeper human based type of story.
Hell yeah.
So yeah, that's where I'm at these days too.
Where do you find inspo for the concert stuff and the arena tours?
The concert stuff?
Yeah. Where do you look? Because it can get, just like sports, it can get repetitive. Mm. You're filming similar things that's happening every night.
Sure.
What do you feel like you do to kind of spice that up?
I think I come back to this one main music doc that I've watched. I think it was for J. Cole's Off Season. I think it was like a really short, like 30-minute thing on YouTube that they put out. And to be honest, there's nothing really that I'm watching these days that's like, oh, I want to make a doc like this.
Yeah.
I've used that almost as like a guiding, just like, if it feels like this or similar to this, that's what I'm going for. And like, I've kept that pretty prevalent, I feel like, in what I want to do. So I'm not actually actively feeling like I'm getting new inspiration for stuff, and I'm totally fine with just like, because every story is different. That's kind of where I think the freshness comes from. It's not always the same thing popping up about like, okay, this show is different, but there's the same kind of elements. I can't say that I'm actively seeing new music stuff that I'm inspired to be honest.
Yeah.
And maybe that's just a lack of me just not being involved in the space anymore.
I think it's cool sometimes to like you even said, like, yeah, I was like, oh, it's like I saw Corey, what he was doing, I try to be better, or like Rory. But sometimes it's nice to like not be influenced at all.
Totally.
You know?
Absolutely.
Like, what am I trying to be in like me, you know?
Exactly.
I think then you can make some like unique ass shit, which I feel like I've seen on your stuff. Like,
totally.
It's been like more like, I was like, this is like him, you know, which is pretty cool.
Yeah. You get to trust. I mean, that's part of the creative act, right, is you're trusting your own taste. So like, the less you get influenced from other people, it's like the more you're allowing yourself to kind of come through this and saying, hey, I like this part, I like this, and it's good enough,
right?
I don't need to compare it to something else that it isn't.
Yeah, so hell yeah.
What are the other things that you're trying to get into right now? You mentioned that you've kind of scaled back some of the things you're doing with Elenium. I saw that you maybe said you wanted to do something with Apple eventually.
Dude, that'd be sick.
That'd be pretty sweet. What do you feel like you want to shoot the most right now? What's kind of drawing your name?
I think my, after years of kind of like, I mean, you guys know client work, right? You're kind of giving someone else's direction and vision, like your taste and stuff. I think for me, I'm just like, dude, I want to get my voice back in a sense. Start telling my own stories again, just like my own little pieces. So that's where like I have a Layers series film, which is like 2 minute just short vignettes on people that I like, I'm inspired by, that I think do really cool shit. And it's allowed me to like, I think that's like my North Star right now, is like, okay, aside from everything else that I'm getting hired for and all these other jobs, if I want to, this is the thing that I want to be making, this is the thing that I want to be known for making, and I just need to start doing it. And, you know, hopefully that'll turn into something with like, you know, a Netflix series or some kind of Apple thing that just, you know, I take it. And that's the thing, is like, I'm showing what I want to be doing, and then people will kind of get attracted to like the natural part that I am.
Yeah.
You know? So
you did one on your jiu-jitsu teacher.
I did.
So do you do jiu-jitsu?
I do,
as
yeah,
well?
Yeah. I've been hell training yeah. about a year, a little over.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, talk, dude, it's been so, again, same thing. It's like rebalancing and like, I don't know.
Picking
I
think up a
it's
good so hobby.
Yeah. And also challenging. I mean, I've seen you.
Fucking, dude, awful.
I've been seeing all your shit.
No, I want to do jiu-jitsu, dude. I'm just afraid I'd fuck my ears again.
Did you wrestle?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I drained it out of my ear, dude. My ear was huge in high school. Mm, one day I came home, my mom was like,
Ramon, get the syringe. I got a tiny one going right here. It's not fun. They hurt. Nobody tells you they fucking hurt.
They don't do headgear in jiu-jitsu. You're kind of like a pansy if you do that. So I don't know if I wouldn't want to go in and be like, get this guy out of here, dude.
But I will say the like wrestlers usually do the fucking best in jiu-jitsu, because you have
the
basic
technique of your stance.
It's just once you get down, it's like, okay, what do I do from here?
Now I need holds.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow. Have you thought about competing in it at all?
I have, yeah. Really? I've competed in two small tournaments. I came up like second place, third place and stuff.
Let's go.
That's like another thing that's driving. I feel like it's important to challenge ourselves, right? Do hard shit.
Yeah.
And like I see in jiu-jitsu, there's so many life parallels between that and stuff. So it's like, yeah, there's a chance to challenge yourself. There's a chance to feel anxious for competing because you don't get those nerves in any other place in your life.
Yeah.
And I think it's important to like put ourselves there.
Something you said to Brayden that nobody's ever said to me, I can tell you used to wrestle. Just to sound like, that body type.
No, there is, I swear it's
once
a telepathy.
You started pointing to his ears, I was like, he wrestled.
It's a telepathy, dude. You can just like feel out, like when he walked up, I was like, this guy definitely does jiu-jitsu or something. This guy is some sort of grappling.
What you got in that elevator.
Walked in, I'm like,
I'm just tripping on my lanky ass self. Yeah, I would get torched.
No, dude, but that's the thing. He's like, I think it's for everything.
Yeah,
bro. Like,
I get good to practice.
Fucking worked from like skinny. It has nothing to do with your size.
Guys, yeah, look just like you.
Here's the thing. Why I do that. I'm lanky, but my arms are short. So not only am I tall, but I don't have any reach.
It's so
weird. I'm like 6'3 with the arms of like a 5'11 guy.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Did you see the fight the other night at all by chance? Sean O'Malley just destroying this guy's face.
Yeah. Oh, fucking Cheeto.
Need him so hard it broke his face, dog.
Dude, I couldn't imagine being there.
He still
so
got
cool.
up after that. Dude.
No, dude. Yeah, Sean was like, I think I is like at the presser. He's like, I think I broke something in that guy's face. He goes, maybe I'm just feeling shit. And I'm like, no, dude. You definitely broke. They showed the X-ray the next day. I was like, bro,
that's
you broke
so
his
messed
like.
Up.
Yeah. I couldn't even imagine, dude. I'm not tough enough to.
Would
do
you ever
that.
Want to shoot like a UFC thing or like?
Dude, I did. I shot. He's in Bellator. He was the champ and he won. It was
who's the guy?
His name's AJ McKee.
Okay.
He was. He's a bantamweight or featherweight, but dude, it was crazy. Like I would go to their gym, and their gym was small. It was like just a little bigger than our living room area. And so I remember just being in there, and I'm like hiding behind the bag trying not to get killed, dude.
Yeah.
I went and ran up a fucking hill with them one day, threw up like at the top. I thought it was
before he started running.
Before the running thing, dude, the one hill, I'm just like running up with them, and I'm like, dude, no, I'm tough. And they're like, dude, you're tough for running up with this. I'm like, yeah, 100%. As soon as they left, I used to wrestle.
Yeah, I know what this
just
is.
Just throw up around the bend, and they're like, you good? I'm like, face is all white and shit. I'm like, yeah, dude, I'm fine. Completely fine, dude. I think the fighting stuff is fun.
Yeah.
They're just such an intense breed of people.
Dude, seriously, yeah.
Like such fucking
warriors.
Dude, yeah. And they have, I feel like it's, I don't think I ever got to that place in my, I don't know. Like there's a place that those people get to that's like, it is death, life or death.
Yeah.
And I feel like when I wrestled, I never was able to get into life or death. I was just like, I'm just going to try to kill you or beat you up. Not life or death. You know, these guys are, kill you, dude. No, those guys are literally fighting for their lives in there, dude. And and they have to win. That's the thing. It's not like, oh, you can lose a couple. No, dude, those guys need to win to keep moving up and get to a different promotion. And like,
that's their life or death.
Yeah, literally you know, they're like, oh God, I have to win this, you know, for sure. So intense.
You used to make videos with Sam Potter and then he started boxing.
Yeah.
All of a sudden I see on his Instagram, he's just like beating people up. And I'm like, what is this such a change that I did not see coming, dude?
Dude, I feel like everyone's finding something. What's going to be your thing, dude? What do you think is going to be your thing? You going to box?
I can do it. I've been swimming laps.
Yo.
I got that down. I got a swimmer body.
Swimming's hard, dude.
Hydrodynamic.
Hey, you used to swim? Yeah, I've gotten that before. I have gotten that. Not to wrestle, though.
Nice.
What was it like working with Sam Potter? I feel like that's when the first thing I saw of yours and stuff.
Well, like Sam was also like same era as like the Illenium stuff because it was post BD.
Got it.
Our first project was in BD when I was working there, but then like all the other stuff that we did, like traveling together and like the big little episodes that we did, was all afterwards. So he 100% has shaped my career. I feel like he's impacted the way I tell stories. We've kind of like probably had, you know, similar impacts on each other.
Yeah.
And even these days, like I'm still doing stuff with him. We're releasing something actually, I think this month.
Oh, sick.
That's been in the works for like a year on his side. So
on Layers or different?
No, it's his own. So he won like an Emmy, or he won like a few Emmys like last year, regional Emmys for like a project that's part of his Back to the Wild series on his YouTube and stuff. And it's the next episode of that. So that's hopefully, you know, we're going to put that up again, hopefully getting a, you know, little award or something. But we're still doing our thing together once in a while. It's just a little, again, it's like scaled back. I think I for so long have only chosen to work with just like a couple of people, and in good ways that's done a lot of positive stuff for me, but it's also like I'm at a point where I think I need to be working with more people, collaborating, you know, kind of like opening new stuff.
I get wanting like to keep the circle tight though.
It's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's once you find the people you trust, like.
Yeah. But yeah, those videos, I remember I was like, God, this is some high quality. Like it was different too. Yeah. It was like high quality. Wasn't just like visuals. Like you're actually like talent. Like I feel something watching these. And that was like the first time I felt like that on YouTube, I think, like watching those videos.
That's cool.
Would he like direct and you like DP or like,
Pretty much he was the direct and like in front of camera talent.
Good VO. Got a good VO voice.
He's got a great VO voice. Dude, all this stuff he's doing now,
so
too.
So hard to pull that off. So many people are bad at it. Like our other guy, Pocos, is so bad. Terrible.
I was wondering where he was. I was like, I'd be excited.
He's in VO jail. He's in
Portugal right now.
Oh, good for him.
Yeah, he's holding it down. Nice. Yeah. So we're holding it down.
Family, you said?
Yeah.
Is he from there?
No, he's actually...
His fam's just going on a trip, I believe.
Oh, shit. Okay.
His dad is from Mexico, but he has a Greek name. And he looks like a white guy. It's very confusing. Yeah.
He speaks Portuguese to me. Spanish.
Basically, he's kind of like...
And he speaks Spanish.
Yeah,
that's
funny.
That's nuts. Yeah. So with Layers, where do you see it going? So you want to maybe sell it to potentially eventually try to...
I mean...
Get a series going.
Yeah, you know, a little series situation.
What's cool about it is now that... It's like you have something physical to actually just show to companies or to people. Because for a lot of time, I've like, it's so hard to pitch an idea with just like a PDF or like a deck and like try to get support and funding behind it. It's been cool that I've had a couple of episodes now to just like present to companies and be like, hey, this is what I have going. Like, do you want to be a part of it? Or like, I can imagine it's like the same sponsors for the podcast, right? Mm-hmm. So like I worked out a little like sponsorship with Atlas Lenses, so I've been shooting some stuff on those like anamorphics and making that like a part of the Layers.
Are they
aesthetic?
Is that Orion?
The Orion.
Yeah, but they're like anamorphic, right?
They're big.
Those are cool, dude. I wanted to rent those for a while.
They're heavy. They're
he's
like,
just trying to make the red heavier.
I think that's the goal. So I was, dude. It was funny. I was shooting cliff jumping. That's the last episode. It's with my friend Dan, and I'm on the edge of this fucking cliff with just like Raptor. 6 pound lens, like everything's just like a whole 20 pound rig, and I'm like, I can't even move this thing fast enough to follow him.
Yeah,
so I mean it makes for beautiful images, and that's just like what I'm prioritizing. I'm like, I can fucking put myself in these weird situations and just be uncomfortable for a little bit.
He used to wrestle. He got the arms.
he used to wrestle.
You put that in the water, that setup?
Yeah,
I haven't yet. No, there's some crazy housing that needs to be like, it's all custom salty housing.
What
that
goes
needs to
into the housing now that you use, or what camera do
I
you
actually
use?
Don't have a housing,
but you go in the water all the time. I
have
see
a friend.
It.
I usually use a friend to like do to do water.
Smart.
Stuff. Yeah, his that's name's Connor Trimble. He has like his setup and like
Okay.
So again, working with people, it's like, okay, I can do so much by myself, but I'd rather have this guy who's like specialty as that. Because also, I'm good in the water, but you know, I'd rather hire a guy who can like literally swim 10-foot maxing pipe and like handle his shit and get those shots. I wouldn't be able to do that.
Yeah.
So
not to go like so far back, but okay. When you started in Hawaii, in Molokai?
Yeah, Molokai. Molokai, whatever.
Are you like GoPro in the water, like adventure kind of vibes? Or like, how do you like get, like pick up the camera, start making stuff?
So that was, I wasn't even on Molokai. Like didn't pick up a GoPro until like I was 21 and living on Oahu.
Damn, so,
and
you picked up late.
I'm 30 now. So it's been like 8 or 9 years for me. And I mean, yeah, I picked up a GoPro way after, like I had a whole section of my life that I just had no idea what I was doing. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of scary. And also just like, I think very motivating, right? Because, okay, I need to find something that's my thing. And the GoPro wasn't even in like with that intention. It was just, okay, I'd go out, I'd shoot some shore break, like go to the beach and shoot some friends, just like having fun. We'd go cliff jumping, same thing. Yeah. I just take the GoPro and then, you know, I'd post and share that shit to Instagram. And I think it was validation. It was good validation for people to be like, hey, this is cool. Like, and it's actually one of the first times I feel like I felt like I was good at something.
Yeah.
And so I just kind of, I mean, whatever that was, it turned into like this kind of obsession and like, oh dude, now I'm the GoPro guy. Like I want to start doing stuff, you know, in a good and a bad way.
Yeah. Damn, you accelerated quick. Cause then you joined BD, what? Like a couple, year
like two or three years after
So you were working in a hospital, right?
Yeah.
What were you doing at the hospital?
I was in sterilization. So surgical equipment would like come down to us and I'd like spray all the blood and guts and shit off of it and clean it.
My God.
Yeah, dude, it was nuts. And I just got that job because I needed to like pay for stuff, you know? I was living on my own and I had to make a living. So it was during that time when I like had a GoPro and I was like, okay, I just need to go out.
During that time period, those 3 years, were you just thinking like, man, I'm going to be, I'm going to travel one day. Like that is what I'm going to do or no?
I think it was always like, it was a cool idea that I had, but it was never like forefront. Like I'm going to get out of this. I'm going to like fucking, you know, I didn't see the GoPro and like content video stuff as a ticket until I was like quitting my job.
Yeah.
Because even then I was still very nervous. Like once the first goal was just like, hey, I want to be able to support myself. And that was like a success to me. Like, I don't care if I travel the world, like none of that was in my head. So my goal was just, if I can support myself with something that I love doing, that's a big success to me. And then once I quit, then it was like, okay, how do I, you know, continue to like elevate and do all this stuff. So I just kept following, you know, that feeling of like, okay, this is something that I'm happy about. Like I want to keep doing this. And that I feel like that attracted like the colders and the kids that were like, okay, dude, I fuck with what you do. And then honestly, like I'm so grateful to him because like he saw in me like that same kind of style and type of potential. And he was like, dude, I need some help at BD. Bring me on. And then I fucking moved to New York. And
it is so crazy that you picked up at 21 and then started, because I started making videos and I was like 10 and I'm still not that good.
You're great, bro. No.
That's so brutal. 2 years and you're like, yeah, I can do BD. That's like,
no.
So you have a GoPro
acceleration,
you meet Kohler and stuff, and then you're like, I need to get a 1DX and start learning settings and all that shit.
Well, I got like, I used to shoot on like a Lumix, like the Panasonic, like the GH4. Yeah. So that was my in between GoPro and then the 1DX.
Yeah.
So I like the first YouTube videos I was doing was with that GH4. And then like it was interesting because working at BD, like they just kind of built their own aesthetic.
Yeah.
And my shit stuck out like a sore thumb. So that's when I was like, okay, I'll shoot on the Canon. Like I'll switch over to that stuff. And that's how that came about. I didn't really choose it for myself, to be honest. Yeah. I was like, I love my fucking GH4, GH5.
So are you just like, at that point, you just film like everything? As soon as you start filming stuff, you're like, I'm just going to make videos constantly, basically?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, after I quit that job, like it was actually scary. I had an idea, like I've shot weddings, like I did stuff like as soon as I left that and didn't have a comfy salary, like I was like, I gotta do something to make money. So I did a bunch of weird shit.
Yeah.
Like stuff that I'd never want to do again.
For sure.
And
we all did, dude. Whenever you make that leap, you're like, all right, dude, who's got
money for anything?
Yeah.
I shot a yarn shop once. I forgot about that.
No, you didn't.
Making yarn.
Yarn. Yarn
it actually
shop?
Wasn't the worst, because it was like nice at least.
Yeah,
I shot grosser like
cool
stuff.
Yeah. How you guys feel about weddings? Because I
hate it, dude. Hate it.
I did it.
Didn't you miss the kiss once?
I did miss the kiss once. Yeah, I totally missed the kiss, but I had a second guy, so we were good. And he had a way better angle, dude. No, I was up. I was up at the. I was on the top angle, right? And so the kiss goes. I'm rolling for like 10 straight minutes. I'm sitting there and I'm like, cool. Yeah, we're still good. You know, just hanging out. And then kiss happens. tap it. I'm like, cool. I'm like, yeah, let me check that out. Let me check that Kiss shot out. And I go back and I'm like, there's the right before the Kiss.
Yeah. Yeah,
and there's
yeah.
right after. And everyone's getting fired up. And I'm like, oh my
like,
God.
He's like overheating it to re-record or whatever.
I have like, no fucking idea.
To
the, yeah, I don't think I pressed it. Yeah. I think the moment was too big.
Yeah.
The moment was way got pissed down his leg.
Got
moment
in his
was
eyes.
Too big. Pissed down his leg.
I still do this thing sometimes when it's like more run and gun where I get my rhythms off on the record button.
Yeah, yeah.
And you, so like I think I'm recording when I'm not recording. And I, dude. And I like, ooh, it's never like when it's a setup thing, like I'm good.
Yeah.
But when it's like, I got to get this and I record and that's when I just stop recording, you know?
And then you look at your footage and it's just in between. It's like the fucking camera pointing at the ground.
I'm watching the edit. I'm like, all right, here comes the shot. Like, it's going to be good. And then it ends. I'm like, no. And then, like, the next kind of cuts. And it's like, all right, here's, okay, I'm going to get it. And then it's like, yeah, it's the worst, so dude.
Oh, my
God. Because you're on a Komodo, right?
No.
Oh,
we used to own a Komodo.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Yeah. I usually shoot on a C70, but I'll rent all sorts of different, depending on the job.
We
yeah,
got
yeah,
to, go we up, bought go two C70s when we sold the Komodo.
So, which was a good trade.
Yeah, it's been a beast.
C70 or R5C?
The
what
C70?
Do you guys like?
Yeah, yeah, but like the R5. So I thought I was gonna be an R5C guy for a while.
Yeah,
I owned the C70 and an R6, and I was like, I'm just gonna combine them. Mm. R5C, battery life's just not good enough, and I need like the like built-in NDs, like the actual like cinema quality features of the C70
so nice.
Is really nice,
so
dude.
Nice.
Like pretty, yeah, like can't beat it,
dude. I keep bouncing back and forth between like FX6 package and the red, just because of like internal NDs. The fucking preamps are so good, especially everything I'm doing, like the Raptor is so overkill, like it really is, and I'm kind of killing myself with it. But every time I like look at footage, I'm like, thank God, like it looks so beautiful,
dude.
Like,
you should pick this up out. You should just hold it after the pod.
Yeah,
because I think you'll really like it.
It's kind of nice because we have like when we work together, like his is obviously pretty built out. Usually it's even bigger than that. Mm-hmm. And then mine just like totally stripped down. Like,
yeah,
how do you put it on a flight on a gimbal even?
And it has a vertical mount. Which is kind of sick.
Yeah.
So if you
need you need to turn it sideways, you just
like social stuff. Literally there's a quarter 20 on the side.
On the side, and so it could just be vertical.
That's sweet. Yeah, that's super nice.
But yeah, the FX6, like the internal variable ND, that's nice.
No, that is. I saw someone get a shot the other day where they were inside, like, it was like a music video. They were inside, right?
Yeah.
Perfectly lit. And then right when he walks out, it's also, I'm like, how the fuck?
Smooth. Just,
it's that variable ND, dude. It just, it's just.
We have that package coming with us to Australia, so it'll be nice to like. Yeah. Well, the second shooter is gonna be on that, but we rented like some B speeds.
Oh, cool, dude!
I'm like, have you shot on those yet?
No, I haven't, but I've wanted to. I feel like there's so many like things I just wanted. I gotta go back to my rental house, guys. Just gotta hang out over there.
Old vintage lenses,
like that's the coolest.
Old fast glass, dude.
Old fast.
I need to go get some.
Yeah, have you ever actually been to Old Fast Glass?
No, I haven't. I didn't know they were.
I've been there once. Oh, it's
It's here.
Yeah, yeah. It's more like Hollywood area. I went there once for like a little like test thing. Really cool space. You can basically just have all the stuff and like people will do like, okay, we rented all of our stuff. Let's get like a little like equipment, like checkout, make sure everything's like going to work.
Yeah, yeah.
It's cool, dude. You just so many
build
things to play
and, like,
with.
Have fun. Yeah. It's such a cool.
Okay. This is more of a selfish question for us, Brayden and I. How are you achieving your colors? Like we were watching videos and we were like, it's because he's shooting on a red. Like, what is that? We were like yelling at each other about it. Yeah.
Do you use Premiere or Da Vinci guy?
Are you a Resolve guy?
I knew he was
Da Vinci
guy
for the last 4 years.
I knew it, dude.
Full
I
front
knew
to
it.
Back. I've said goodbye to Premiere.
Switch, dude.
I knew he was a.
If you guys have, you guys
guy.
Not?
No.
I've started coloring stuff in it, but I'm just like, I could do Premiere. I don't think I would have to look. I'm pretty sure I could close my eyes and cut a video.
It's a very easy transition. I will say that you can use shortcuts from Premiere keyboards and put it into DaVinci,
which is big.
The only thing is, it's just like you're working in, so the DaVinci has the tabs now, and you just like, there's no modular ability to change your workstation basically,
right?
So you're just working off, you know, a set thing that DaVinci's made. Once you make that like adjustment, it's dude, I'm so much happier. Like, it doesn't crash on me.
See, that's
the biggest fucking thing.
Because Premiere crashes on you, boy, a whole lot, dude.
Really?
Especially with the C70 footage, something about the MXF files.
Oh, see, I changed MP4, it hasn't crashed on me. But I know the MXF is better.
But like the raw red stuff looks like works great in Premiere.
Yeah.
But it's something about the Canon files. I think I might switch, dude. Low key.
You should do it.
So
you buy
Resolve Studio and then you just kind of rip it.
Dude, and it's also one time payment.
I was just like, about to say that's kind of bullshit. They got us on a subscription, dude.
So sure.
Well,
burns my. I know we don't pay for it, but it still burns my ass. The thought of having to pay for it
would really make
for
me
all
mad.
The people
I just
want
to take them down for fucking for, having to stand
for all the people listening that are paying for it. I'm doing it for you. I'm gonna make this.
Yeah, dude, we might have to. Cause so you color everything in Resolve.
It's front to back. Yeah, I cut. I mean, everything. Sound design, dude. And that's the other thing. Even sound design in DaVinci, I feel is so much superior.
Really?
I can use. So I do like music production a little bit on the side.
all the plugins and VSDs for my music, I can use in DaVinci like seamlessly.
Oh, that's really cool.
It's so sick. I could even fucking, you could make a full song in DaVinci if you wanted to.
That's crazy, dude.
Yeah.
I might make the change just a Monday, yeah. You know?
Just send it over.
I will say, like, I gave myself like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
It, like, try to find a gap where you don't have like any immediate work that needs to get done and just fucking dive in.
So do you, okay, so I switched over. I don't know if, did I tell you this? That I got a tablet. I got a Wacom tablet because my wrist had been hurting, dude. My hand got messed up.
Carpal tunnel kind of thing?
No, it's tendonitis, but I woke up. Oh, I was coming back from like a 2 week run and I came back and my hand was the size of a softball. And I was like, what the heck's going on? I went to the physical therapist. She goes, this is just overuse. Like, you just gotta chill.
Just clicking away too much.
Yeah, just hands on fire, dude. Literally on fire.
Are you a mouse guy?
No, so, well,
before.
Sure. Yeah. But when I'm on the road, I don't bring it. I'm sometimes on a bus or something.
And so,
like, if you think about it, though, she was telling me, she's like, you hold your hands out like you're on a keyboard. She's like, that is awful. She's like, this is not good. She's like, this is better. And so I'm writing now with a Wacom tablet. Do you think I could use this Wacom tablet in?
You can click with it, right?
It's just
they also have the panels. Like, you can get like these micro panels that are really sweet. Like, you don't.
Oh, I've seen those guys with the thingies.
I have a small
one. The twisties things.
Yeah.
The twisties.
Dude, if you show up for like an on site editing job with the wheels, people are like, how much do you charge a day? Like, $2,000. Yeah. Whatever you need, bro.
Take our money.
Wow. So you think we should do it?
100%.
Yeah.
I've been telling everybody, I've been trying to like, I'm fucking so far DaVinci that I'm just like, bail your Premiere, After Effects keep. Yeah. I still use After Effects once in a while.
Sometimes you need a little heavier, like of motion graphic-y stuff. Yeah.
But even inside DaVinci, like, there's Fusion.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. Like, tracking and stuff.
And that's not as like crazy as I thought it was. Yeah. I've only recently started using it maybe like the last year. And coming from After Effects, like, it's not that big of a difference, honestly.
So what is, okay, coloring your stuff.
Yeah.
What is the biggest difference? Do you feel a huge difference in between when you color a red something or you color your FX6 footage?
A little bit.
Yeah.
It's because it's mostly like you get more flexibility with raw. I shoot everything like raw red stuff.
But you must, what do you store all this shit on?
So I got a couple towels.
Sorry. You got two guys with ADD across from
me. I've got a 72 terabyte like OWC just tower for like backup stuff.
What's the brand that makes
OWC? Otherworld Computing. I think is
72 terabytes.
I've already filled that up, so I've got to get another. But there's
they've been good to you? They haven't.
They've been solid. Really? Yeah, I've had it for I haven't had them that long. Maybe a year and a half, and I've already filled it up.
Damn.
But the
it's because you have
Shoot. I mean, it's. I think it's worth it. At the end of the day, you can always buy more storage.
Totally. Right?
It's fucking expensive, but whatever. I use, and then like usually like on a normal shoot day, I'll shoot like maybe between 1 and 2 terabytes of like.
That's the thing, dude. So you're shooting MP4, you probably shoot like 10 gigabytes.
It's different, different applications. That's all it is. Totally different applications.
Yeah, 100%.
But the thing is like, I only have like an M1 Mac from like 2022.
Mm-hmm. I saw Sam said that he got the M3. He said the same as M1.
Yeah.
So they're capping.
I haven't noticed any. I've used the M3 before. Oh, and like, yeah. I was like, I've same edited thing. Some stuff on it. I'm like, dude, it's pretty much, I don't notice any difference. At least notably to like, hey, like my computer's
this
not is, that good.
This makes me really happy.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's good for
this
the program.
This is a good way to get you a deal with Apple M1s. Like you want.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah. Fuck. I'm kind of shooting myself in the foot.
M3 is good.
Yeah. But I think even with such high data rates, like raw on the red just handles so much smoother.
Yeah. It really does. It cuts like butter. It's crazy.
Beautiful.
It's like you just got a little iPhone footage or something. It like the way it cuts. It's just easy, dude. Doesn't sometimes these mess up on you.
So I'll slap on so much just like, you know, processing on it, and it'll still play back like
so butter. Do you feel like you can achieve a better look when you shoot on red than when you shoot on Sony? Like, there's absolutely no way you could even get it to like, because I feel like that, but I always wondered, I'm like, is it even worth it?
Achieving,
you know, like
I think it's more forgiving.
Yeah,
you know, if maybe your lighting setup isn't ideal and like you don't have the ability to like shape things the way you want it to, it's forgiving. So like you can pull a little bit more, you can, you know, just manipulate it a little bit easier.
Yeah, like in a studio light, like perfect conditions, it probably looks about the same.
Probably the same. Yeah, you could, that's why they shot, like the creator was shot on FX3, right? Because, but they didn't notice the millions of other dollars that were fucking in every other department making it look that good.
Right.
The image sensor is like, and I actually, there's a kid, you guys know Jake Bain by chance? He's another like creator kid.
I think I've heard of Jake
Bain. He just bought a Burano.
Oh, the Sony one.
Yeah,
oh.
And he has an FX3 too. And I saw in his story, he posted like a top and bottom of like the FX3
just
Burano.
Identical, huh?
Pretty much identical. Yeah.
Well, dude, I think Sony's all the same sensor.
Sony's all the same.
I think they're lying to us.
The ZV-1 looks just like the FX6 looks the same.
Yeah,
looks exact
yeah
same.
I think it's literally the
which
same
is wild
thing.
I mean, and I think they're only getting smaller for those guy cameras,
right,
too.
Mm-hmm.
But
it's really interesting, dude. So I'll leave you with this, okay? What is some advice to your 18-year-old self? If you could go back before you had to bounce and go on this journey to New York and all around the world and back again, back to Hawaii, what would you say?
You know, it's funny. I was thinking that you might bring that question up, and I've been thinking about it the last 2 days, and I still don't think I have a good answer, because it would be a combination of things. There's so much shit I tell myself, but I don't regret any of the stuff that I've done. I think I made a pretty big identity out of like where I was at that point in my life of like, yes, I'm the BD guy. Like, I'm the travel creator. I'm the GoPro kid. And that is one thing I do regret, because it prevented me from, I mean, I think it made me treat people a little differently that I wouldn't have wanted to. So my advice to myself would have been like, dude, check yourself, you know, like just check that ego a little bit.
Yeah.
It also stopped me from working with people that I should have maybe worked with. And like, I think it's just stopped a lot of things that could have happened in, you know, a better way potentially for myself. But at the same time, hey, I'm here, you know, like it's I'm definitely not upset about what I've gone down. So advice, I guess, would be like, work with people more, collaborate with more people. Don't, you know, stick to such a rigid identity of myself. And like, hey, if like just working with other people, be like, hey, bring your taste to this project and like do your thing. And that's what I want to do like in the future. That's what I'm giving for myself right now. It's like, I want to work with other talented people to, you know, just work on cool shit, bring their taste to it. And yeah, just do more cool stuff.
Dude, right, let's go. I'm hyped you came. Hyped you got to come on the pod. Mad, this was super fun.
Thanks for having me. Seriously.
Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning into episode 103 of the 505 podcast. Make sure to hit the sub button, leave a like, and we'll see y'all next week. Peace.
Nice.
So good at that.